Scott from Media PA.
For what? What am I doing?
Would you rather? You got to keep one.
Well, you didn't tell me what you were doing.
I'm telling you now. And it's breaking my heart in two, because I never want to see you sad, girl. Don't be a bad girl. But if you want to leave, take good care. Hope you find a lot of nice friends out there. But just remember there's a lot of please, I got to stop the madness. Okay.
Why are you? Why? I don't understand why you were playing that.
It was just a song in my head from when I was a kid. I needed it. I needed to get it out of my head, so I had to hear it.
Hello, you've reached Scott. Well, not really. It's actually Scott's voicemail. That's what you got. So please leave a message with your name, number, and brief message if you want. And I will get back to you as soon as possible. So have a good day. Thanks.
To page this person, press 5 now. At the tone, please record your message.
Oh, he's getting a message.
Finished recording. You may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Scott from Media PA! Answer your phone! Come on, now you sent me a Twitter saying that you wanted to do a would you rather. And so here I am giving you the would you rather that you asked for. Face here too.
Hello.
And you're not there. Now that's just not right. Call me back immediately.
Goodbye. I had a good one, too.
I'm not answering it either. Well, I know this person is there because he just sent me a
wait a minute. I'm going backwards. Oh, no.
Did you go and draw from the wrong end of the pile?
No, no. They're all backwards. Oh, no.
Oh, there's you can't recover from that either, I don't think. No. Just draw out of the middle.
Wait a minute. No. It just looked like they were.
Oh. You're silly.
I'm not available right now. But
what?
Jose!
Jose, you were just there.
Why do those look like different colors? Oh, why am I asking you? You can't tell. Those are different than that, but they're the same direction. That doesn't make any sense. They're flipped the other way.
To send a numeric page, press 5.
You got to get it cut it off right at the same spot. See, they're tipped the wrong direction.
What are you talking about?
You have to flip them.
Jose!
I fixed it!
Okay, you fixed it.
Yay.
Jose, we're calling you for a would you rather and you're not there. Did you hear that? That was my wife going. She doesn't do that very often. Maybe twice a year.
Uh-huh.
Shame on you.
Did.
Shame on you. And you were there and all.
Are you getting a call?
Yeah, Jose Torres is calling me.
Well.
Hello?
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 I got a call from this number.
Hello?
Oh, you got a call from this number? This is Brad and Faith.
Hello?
And we're calling you, Jose Torres of the True Love Show.
Took him a while. Hello?
We are calling you to do a...
For... Style or something.
What?
Maybe I should have your number on my phone book.
Maybe you should.
Maybe you should.
Maybe you should.
Maybe you should do whatever you need to do, okay? Make sure that you know it's me.
Now I don't know which end they were coming. Uh-oh.
Okay, so Faith has a would you rather question for you. Are you ready?
Uh-oh.
Oh, my gosh.
I think
gosh.
I got
okay.
it mixed up.
All right. Prepare yourself.
Uh-oh.
Here you go.
Oh, this is
no, come
not
on.
Good.
Come on, Faith. You're supposed to have a question ready. What's
I
wrong
do.
With you?
I do. Would
I
you?
I
oh, well, gonna... you just hold your horses. Good grief. You just hold your horses. All right, hold
okay,
on.
Okay, ready?
Here we go.
Can you hear me now?
Okay, a little bit better.
Okay, here I am. Would you rather have eyebrows that make a complete circle around your face or flat eyelashes that stick out 10 inches and cannot be trimmed?
Would I rather have eyebrows that go around my head?
Around your face.
Around your face.
Or flat eyelashes that stick out 10 inches, but you can't trim them. Can't trim them.
My girlfriend has big eyelashes.
Well, these would
but
be
these are not
bigger.
Curled. They're flat.
I already
flat.
Have big eyebrows, so I guess I'll stick with those.
He's going
He's
with,
going
the,
with
going
the Neanderthal?
With,
look, okay.
See, I actually got to do my eyebrows every once in a while, because otherwise I'll get a unibrow or something.
A unibrow?
Okay, you know, you can shave your eyebrows. You can even trim your eyebrows, but a man doesn't say he does his eyebrows, okay? let's just make that clear.
You can even wax them.
No, you don't wax them either.
Yeah. No. Then it lasts longer.
No, you wax a car, you wax a boat, but you don't. A man doesn't wax his eyebrows.
Why not?
Waxing them one time. It was awesome, actually.
Shut up.
It's a good pain.
Give me your man card right now.
It's a good pain.
Oh, gosh.
Waxing your eyebrows is a good pain.
Yeah.
No. First,
I'm so happy you guys are back. Oh, my gosh.
We're back. We will be back tomorrow, Monday morning. Now, this show is not...
This is Thursday's show,
so you'll just have to wait. Yeah. All right. Well, Jose, we got to get back to work. About that other thing you emailed me about earlier, yeah, we're cool with it. Just go for it. If you need, you know, call me later about questions about that, okay?
Awesome. You guys are great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, man. Take it easy.
Bye. Bye. All right,
see you. Okay. That was Jose Torres. We got to get that Skype thing worked out.
Yeah, which is good because... See, I was reading this thing the other day.
You were?
I was. And it said, the Bible is not so much a difficult book to read and understand as it is an exceedingly difficult book for most of us to obey. Mark Twain once said, it ain't those parts of the Bible that I can't understand that bother me. It's the parts that I do understand. Yeah. And then Paul Harvey said, Paul Harvey said, men do not reject the Bible because it contradicts itself, but because it contradicts them.
Listen, everybody, to the Two Blind Squirrels, Brad and Faith, podcasting around the world. Just sit back now, give it a whirl. Welcome, everybody, to the Two Blind Squirrels.
On today's show, we have RTB. And what are you going to talk about, Faith?
Submission.
Ooh, ooh, ouch. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That rocks.
We haven't heard that in a while.
I know. Well, we needed a break from it just so it would sound fresh and cool and good. And that's it is. And it does.
That's good. Good, good, good.
Now we officially have a different one for each day. Sort of. Kind of. Yes?
Kind of.
So, submission.
So back in the day, you know, like in the church days, early church.
Early church.
Yeah. Paul was, you know, talking to
women not to talk in church.
But he also, Jesus was very liberating in that he said, there is no Jew or Greek or woman
male
or
female.
Man, male or female, all or right. Scythian or whatever they were,
yeah,
slave, free, that women and men were equal.
That's a big deal. Yeah. In the eyes of the Lord.
In the eyes of the Lord. And that he looked at them the same. But that was huge. About women's lib.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, was that huge?
That is huge. So how do you reconcile what Paul said?
Well, I think it's interesting that we've come...
And how the man is supposed to be the head of the
house. Now we look at, you know, it used to be that Paul was like Mr. Advocate for Women's Rights, right?
Right.
Back in the first century. Now we think that he's, you know...
Antiquated.
You know, he's horrible and trying to, you know, hold us down.
Right.
The man's holding us down.
Yeah.
You know.
So how do you reconcile those two things?
I'm not here to reconcile those two things. I'm just here to bring that to the forefront.
Well, no.
What I'm here to talk about is submission.
Well, that's what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, you can't answer that question.
I can.
Okay.
But I'm not going to.
Okay. Why? I'm getting her off her script. Go ahead.
I know, but I'm not going to. No, because I'm not going to. What? I mean, we're going to get it'll get answered.
Okay. Go.
Jeez.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I was trying to be helpful.
You're not being helpful.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to shut up now. I'm going to be submissive.
What I think is interesting is that we have these expectations, right?
Yes.
For that marriage is, and this is what reminded me of Jose Torres, because he does, you know, True Love Waits. The thing about is that we get this, there's this universal thing in everywhere that marriage is going to be this perfect, wonderful, joyous thing. And it can be.
Well, yes, it can.
But it's not that easy, is it?
No, not all the time.
Right. I mean, sometimes, and don't you think...
It's as easy as putting yourself second.
Right. And don't you think that it's a little unrealistic for us to think that it's going to be this perfect, wonderful thing? Because there are two unperfect people as a part of this relationship, right?
They do live in a fallen world.
Yes. You know, so we, you know, we can make sure that we love each other and that we treat each other with dignity and all of those things, right?
Right.
But I think understanding submission in the way that Paul presented it, in the way that Jesus presented submission as from himself to the Father, is our example to follow. I think submission is not this horrible thing like, you know, you have to submit to me.
Yes.
Women make a choice to submit to their husbands. I mean, God set it up that the man is the head of the home, mm-hmm. and then, you know, the wife submits to his authority.
But that doesn't make sense. There's not supposed to be any men and there's not supposed to be any women. And having a woman submit to a man is just antiquated and wrong.
But it's not, because God set up family structure that way because we are sinful people and we have to have some order.
But why would a woman submit to a man if essentially in God's eyes they're the same?
Because somebody has to be in charge.
Who's in charge?
The Lord.
Okay.
And by submitting to your husband, you're submitting to God. Well, he's not asking you.
Doesn't the Trinity, doctrine of the Trinity teach that Jesus and the Lord and God are equal?
Mm-hmm. But Jesus submitted himself to the Father and became as a man. And that did not make him less God, did it?
No.
It doesn't make me less a woman to submit to you.
And isn't men in authority and slaves, masters? I mean, back then, slaves and masters is different than what we all understand. That we're not talking about the slavery that went on in America. In the
early. Right. Very different.
We're talking about indentured servants and you know, in today's world, we're kind of talking about our everyday work.
Right. Yeah.
And so we have jobs and we have masters and we have bosses and we also have people in government who are in authority over us. Mm-hmm. And yet these people are equal to us in God's eyes, but yet we're supposed to submit to them, mm-hmm. be submissive to them. So, you know, it bothers me. Women, I've heard women really take offense at this statement. Not so much Christian women. They usually, even if they don't understand it, they kind of keep your mouth shut about it. But I've heard non-Christian women really get on this one here and just, well, you know, Paul says women are supposed to talk in church. And well,
what? Paul says what?
Women shouldn't talk in church. They should keep their mouth shut in church. It says. Yeah.
Okay.
And so, you know,
women
take offense to that. And I'm like, look, you know, Jesus submitted himself to all kinds of torture and death. I think keeping your mouth shut in church because the Lord through Paul said this is a good idea isn't a bad idea. Mm-hmm. And when I say keep your mouth shut in church, we're talking about speaking out on issues and you know, basically being in control. Mm-hmm. And besides that, Paul was addressing a specific issue. We're not talking about being a teacher in church.
No,
we're not talking about being a Sunday school teacher or anything like that.
These
we're talking about women getting
trouble.
Involved in the politics of church.
Yeah, they were stirring up trouble, is what they were doing.
Right.
Yes. But Christ submitted himself. He didn't, I mean, he wasn't diminished. He was not inferior in any way, right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't any less God.
No.
But his example of lowering himself to be a man so that we could live.
Right.
You know, he shed his blood to cover our sins so that we could live. Mm-hmm. But that didn't make him less. Just like when I submit to what you think is best, even though I may not completely agree with it, it's not making me less of a woman. It's making me less of a person.
And let me tell you, women, I don't know that all men are the same, but let me tell you, women, about at least me and most men that I know. When a woman submits themselves to me, or when, like, if somebody in the ministry says, you know what, I'm going to submit to your authority in this, even if a guy in the ministry says, I'm going to submit to you in your position of authority in this ministry, or when Faith especially, and she does this a lot, she says, you know what, I don't agree, but I'm submitting to you in this. Nothing is more humbling. It doesn't make me feel like more of a man. It makes me question my every action to make sure that I'm in line with, because it's like, oh my gosh, now I'm responsible for this. It wasn't like we made the decision together. She said, nope, you know, I don't disagree with you, but you know what? You're in charge. It's your decision. I submit to you.
I think it's a challenge to a man's character. I think it makes a man step up.
It does.
It makes him step up and be and like we say, be a man. But I mean, that's a cliche thing to say. But it means step up and be the head of your home. If you give him the opportunity to, and you show him that he can do it, I mean, that's huge.
Huge. It's huge, and it's there's nothing, you know, more than to have faith behind me 100%. Not just submitting to me, but behind me in support too. It's not just submitting to it and then waiting for it to fail. Mm-hmm. It's submitting to it and then backing it up with, no, you know, I submitted to you in this, and my responsibility now is to see it through with you. Mm-hmm. And that is huge. And I mean, it means it, you know, a lot of times it means everything. It means, mm-hmm. you know, it means everything. And then when it doesn't work out, or when, you know, I was wrong, it doesn't mean thrown in my face right. or anything. It means, no, we, you know, I'm just as responsible as you are because mm-hmm. I submitted to your authority in this. Mm-hmm. And that is just, you know, faith is just, it's just a blessing to me to have a woman that understands that and does that. And, you know, and it makes me more, it makes me really think things through, because I don't want to lead us down the wrong path, you know?
Well, as
and it makes thank me consult
for that.
And it also
here to get you to pat me on my back, but
but it also makes me consult you a lot more too, with a lot, and I have a lot of respect for you because I know you're not gonna, you know, I'm not threatened with, you know, mm-hmm. like I know I have friends who won't consult their wife's opinion because they're afraid they're gonna usurp their authority. Because they look at it as demeaning to ask their wife's opinion. Because, well, you know, they just, and I don't feel that way. Hmm. I'm completely secure.
My submission to you is an act of obedience to God. He
right,
and yeah. it's just like our children need to obey us because through obeying us, they're obeying the Father.
Right.
So it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. By submitting myself to you. It makes peace in our relationship too, and it raises you up, and it raises me up, and it brings peace.
And nothing, let me tell you, nothing. If you want to encourage your husband to pray, nothing brings me to my knees quicker than mm-hmm. my wife submitting to me, because I'm like, oh Lord, this is, you know, I don't want to be the mm-hmm. only one. You know, you help me, guide me, make sure that I'm doing the right thing here.
Well, I found that it was so interesting when you think about, you know, people have this ideal of marriage. And, you know, I don't know if you've talked about this before, but, you know, like, I was thinking about going to Cinderella's Castle and Disney World and this fairy tale that right. little girls have, and that we have this fairy tale that this prince is going to ride up on his white horse and he's going to carry us off. And you know, as little girls, from the time we're little and we do dress up, we're pretending to get married and those are, it's a forever kind of thing, mm-hmm. you know? And boys, you know, are thinking, well, I don't know, I might hang with this girl when I'm 16 for 6 months. I mean, that's a long time, man. You know, I mean, it's just different. It's girls different. Are 16 and they think they're going to marry this boy. They're in love with him and I'm going to be with him forever. That's how girls think. And I just think, I mean, and you see that in soap operas. I mean, marriage, how many times is like Erica and All My Children married? Like 6,000 times. They just keep getting married over and over and over again.
I have no idea.
Well, I mean, she's just the most famous.
Don't know
famous,
who Erica is.
Susan Lucci. She just is the most famous. Susan Lucci is. Whatever. She was famous on the soap opera. But I mean, soap operas, they keep getting married even though they get divorced over and over and over again. Yet well, they keep, I mean, it's just get, interesting how our society.
You don't have to go to soap operas anymore. You go to everyday life.
Well, right. But
how
I
many
think
people
it's,
do
I
we
think
know
it's such,
who've been married
it's
forever.
So, it's yeah. so funny to look at soap operas that have this twisted view and mm-hmm. they yet they're still raising marriage above everything else. You know, mm-hmm. I just think that's interesting that's out there. But you're right. You just have to look at everyday life to see the craziness out there. But I just was reminded as I was studying, I was reading Colossians, Colossians 3:18, 19 and 20, basically, you know, wives mm-hmm. submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not, be harsh with them. And then children, obey your parents and everything, for this pleases the Lord. And, just short verses on how to live our life and how much harmony that submission brings and how, and I really think that by submitting, it makes your husband, I really believe that it makes him see you as more beautiful and more, he more loving towards you. I think that enhances that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I truly do. Because there are times when I go, what? Well, no, I am no. I'm not doing that. And he knows that right. I'll come back about 5 minutes later and go, okay, I'm sorry. I had to get that. I didn't mean it. Well, but I know that's ugly. It's ugly. And I feel ugly. I walk away and I'm like, ugh. And I don't mean appearance ugly. Right. I mean, it's ugly on the inside.
But people have this vision of submission as being a beat dog or cowering, and that is not the picture of submission. Mm-hmm. You picture Jesus washing his disciples' feet.
Yeah.
I don't think he was cowering doing it. I think he did that in complete dignity and understanding of exactly what he was doing.
Mm-hmm. Placed himself as a servant.
That's what we're talking about. To each other, submitting to each other, submitting to Jesus and to the Father, and our wives submitting to their husbands, children submitting to their parents. These acts of submission are not cowering. They're not degrading to us in any way. Mm-hmm. We do that in complete dignity. We do that as a laying down of our authority and our power and submitting to another.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, as this, the man, you know, Paul says, husbands, love your wives and, you know, do not be harsh with them. And love your wives. And he goes in and says, you know, love them as you love yourself. I mean, isn't that interesting? Because who don't you love more than yourself? Right. You're going to treat them as you would yourself. Mm-hmm. And men are not to be harsh with their wives, not to be mean and horrible. And women, I think, get the idea that submission is going to cause their husband to be horrible and mean to them. But I think that if they're submitting to their relationship with Christ, that that sacrificial love should come through in their relationship with her. I mean, Brad sacrifices of himself constantly for me. I don't know if he knows that, but he does.
But it makes it easy to do, you know, and
it's a reciprocal thing. I mean, it's a back. I mean, it's really this give and take back and forth thing.
But when you have a beautiful, strong woman, not cowering to you in fear, but submitting to you in authority, that is two totally different things. And, you know, I think that too many people have had a wrong view of that because they've been abused or because they've been in abusive relationships or because, you know, whatever, you know. They have a. I think the world has perverted, just like it perverts everything that God has laid out. Just like it, you know, just like it perverts sex within marriage into just sex and adultery and all that. Just like it, you know, perverts sex through porn. Just
and
like
we're
it
so easily where it, that's a I could do. I could do 30 minutes on
30
that.
30 minutes on sex.
No, on the fact that it's warped.
Yeah.
Because it was warped. And you go back in my previous life, it's warped. Mm. So I had to relearn what Christ meant for it to be. Because it was not that. It was not what Christ meant for it to be.
Right.
And I didn't, and I think there's a lot of people in relationships that think, it's just sex. It's not. That's not what God intended it to be. And that's why everybody thinks we're mushy, gushy, gross.
We are mushy, mushy, gushy,
because
gross.
I mean, I really think that he really showed us both that. We learned from that. Mm-hmm. And Brad really taught me that it's not just, you know, something you do. I mean, I'm not trying to, get too personal, but I think a lot of people do that. I think that a lot of relationships, so let's do this and get it over with. What is that? You know.
Right.
Check it off our list. So, and in this day and age, you know, you hear a lot. Well, just schedule it for Tuesday and Thursday, you know, and I'm not saying there's something wrong with that. I mean, but I think something gets lost in the idea that you're just doing it for doing it's sake. So, sorry, you're getting quiet.
No, there's not a lot I can say at this point without getting off into tangents.
Sorry.
We're trying to stick to submission, but anyway, I think we've said,
that had just been on my mind for about a week, and I just really had been thinking a lot about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's voluntary.
I heard something the other day I got to bring up too, since this is kind of on the same line, just simply because of the attitude I hear in some of these statements coming from, not really friends, but people I know. And that is, you know, they left the church because of the hypocrisy. You know, I just couldn't take the hypocrisy, or, you know, all the Christians I knew were hypocrites, or, you know, that guy, you know, I'm going to use this electrician because he goes to my church. Well, don't trust him there alone with your wife, you know, just, and just some of the attitude I hear about hypocrisy. And here's the thing about hypocrisy. Hypocrites are hypocritical. I don't think anybody can call anybody else a hypocrite without being hypocritical. We're all hypocrites. Uh-huh. I'm a hypocrite because I fall, because I sin, because I may be sinning and not even realize it until somebody calls me on it, you know? And I'm like, oh, you know what? You're right. Or the Holy Spirit, you know, brings it to my attention through prayer. I'm like, oh, you know, and it's so, yeah, if on the day we were saved, the Lord made us perfect and took away all our bad habits and all, and we were completely sanctified on the very day that we were saved, then yeah, you got a point. Okay. The church is either full of hypocrites or it's not. And if it is, then everything that the Lord says is wrong. And there's no reason to believe Christianity as a theology. But you know what? That's not what the Bible teaches. And that's not what Christianity is about. Mm-hmm. We are justified on the day of our salvation, but we are sanctified through life. And that sanctification is a hard process. Mm-hmm. And we are flawed individuals. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, through
that. I do
that,
the things I don't want to do.
This is Paul talking about it. It's Paul talking here. So as we move through the sanctification process, yeah, we're hypocrites. We're all hypocrites. Mm-hmm. We're not all still sinners in the fact that the Lord, we've been justified. Our sins have been paid for. But we're still fallen, you know, perverted creatures that the Lord is sanctifying. That He is purifying through trials and fire and all that. And we're not supposed to be tested. We're not supposed to be out there and look at me. Mm-hmm. You know, we're supposed to be out there and say, look at him.
Yeah.
I'm bad. But you we're have no idea how bad I was before this.
Right. We should point the way to him.
You have no idea what I'd be like without him.
Mm-hmm. So was there a song? How'd it go? Was it, you can't get to heaven?
So anybody who calls anybody else a hypocrite is a hypocrite, just so you know that. Okay,
well,
go ahead.
You can't get to heaven. No, that's not that one, because they're not hip
on roller
with it.
Skates.
Yeah, but this was a different one. But because I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Okay. I don't want to be a hypocrite because they're not hip with it. That's what it was. I don't remember the rest of it though. I guess that was I can't.
Well,
get
we have lots of phone calls. For
we
people.
Do. Yes, what should we save for tomorrow?
And we've got to. We've talked ourselves into a whole show here without any.
Alrighty then.
Hope y'all are in the mood for a sermon today.
You got the outro?
Yeah, I'm working on it. So,
all we need, we got sex, submission, and the sanctity of marriage. There you go.
Sex, submission, and the sanctity of marriage. That's a show a lot of people are going to click on. I think I'll just call it sex, and then I get a lot of hits.
There you go. Then you get a lot of hits.
All right, everybody. Well, for those of you who stuck through the show and are not writing me angry emails right now, thank you for listening.
Why would they be writing angry emails?
Oh, whenever I preach, I get angry emails.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, the word never returns void.
I guess I understand
you. The word never returns void.
Sorry.
I'm not a preacher, but I continue to preach. What's up with that?
I don't know. All righty, then. Vios con Dios, y'all.
That was Faith preaching, not me. Just so you know, you got to direct all your angry emails to Faith this time.
Yeah, but I don't read them. So
you know,
really
nobody ever calls in and takes issue with something you said. It's always something I've said.
I don't know, honey. I don't know what to
Well,
tell
this
you.
Has been the Outside of Time podcast. Thank you for joining us today. And tune in tomorrow when you will be on the show, because it's all about you and your calls
your
tomorrow.
Day.
That's it. You.
Two blind squirrels, they're gooder than pie.
John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher that comes from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him and said, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he be born a second time into his mother's womb? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds might be clearly seen, that they have been done in God.